Well, I trust that our friends in Wisconsin and North Carolina and other points in our nation are enjoying worshiping with us this morning and readying themselves for what the Lord has put upon my heart to share with you. I gave Catherine the list, and I said, "We will not be getting to all these scriptures this morning, for sure." I'm continuing actually to get a download. At last check, I had 11 points from only about 15 verses in the scripture. Each time I read it, I get more out of it. And that's how God's word is, isn't it? It's so rich. It's a deep, deep well for us to draw from. Well, let's go. If you have your Bible and prefer to read it from your own translation, we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 16. From the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. Starts like this. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified. Guess what? Just seeing if you're awake. How about chapter 2? And when I came to visit you, Paul speaking, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. That's the gospel. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age or of this present age has understood. Or if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God Himself. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I was awakened about 3 a.m. a few evenings ago, not by choice. However, I'm always glad to hear from the Holy Spirit. And what I heard was the centerpiece that's in the middle of this passage of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Amplified reads this way. Scripture says, which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready for those who love him, that is, for those who hold him in an affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Sometimes I don't think we have the deep appreciation that we need to have of what great and awesome things God has done. Not just salvation, although that's awesome enough, but his daily care and provision for every area of our life, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The cross reference there, and probably in most of your Bibles, is Isaiah 64:4, the end of which says, who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. And this is pointing to that need for intimacy in our relationship with the Lord. And you know there's no accidents in the kingdom, right? Of course not. And I was actually looking for something else when I was preparing yesterday, and I found a note with the word written, pronouncement, on it, which relates to this verse 9. A pronouncement is a formal declaration of opinion, an authoritative announcement. So to paraphrase that, or a formal declaration of opinion, to put that into everyday language, I would say it this way. What the Father declares to be so. Has decided will be so. Plans and purposes to do. Is determined to do for his sons and for his daughters. It's talking about the full inheritance that was made available through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not just salvation, and that I'm not diminishing what that means, but it's so, so much more. It's the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, the ongoing care and compassion and love that the Father has for each one of us. So I entitled, and it's going to be more than one message, whether it's consecutive Sundays or not, God's Total Provision. Or an alternate title would be, He Did It for Love. So, for our resident wordsmith, two words in provision. Pro meaning means the affirmative, or in favor of, or champion, or supporting. And vision, simply what is seen, but more than that, what someone can envision, one that can foresee what the future holds. And that is far more powerful in my opinion, because we all want to know what's coming up. I believe there's a part of us that wants that. We don't just want all of our ducks in a row presently. We want all our ducks in a row in the future as well. And so, to lay the foundation here, I'm going to share a few scriptures before I actually go into the message. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Or King James says, who can be? Who can be against us if God is on our side? Romans 11:36. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And I love it when the Holy Spirit gives me a song when I'm doing sermon preparation. The song is, You Are Worthy of It All. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Final scripture that is laying the foundation for where we're going to be going is Colossians 2:10. And in him, in Christ, you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. So let's get started. I'm going to cut it off at a certain point. I have more than enough material and not going to share everything that I have on these two pages. So God's total provision, the first thing right from the get-go here in verse 1, we have the testimony of God. Or the witness. That word is used almost as many times interchangeably in the New Testament. Testimony or witness. But Paul's speaking there and he's saying, we didn't come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. What's God's testimony? You have a future and a hope in him. Jeremiah 29:11. And so much more. That word testimony, 1 John 5:9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has borne testimony or witness concerning his Son. And let's read that whole passage in context there. 1 John 5, starting at verse 7. For there are three that testify. You know who the three are? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. So it's important to read that whole concept there in context, as the Apostle John shares that about the testimony of God. That testimony becomes a part of you. God's testimony about you or for you becomes a part of you. It says it's in you once you receive it by faith. Then we have to walk it out. We have to live it out by faith. 1 Corinthians 1, 5 to 6. That in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech, in all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. That's making room for the Lord. That's giving preference or precedence to the Lord in our life. That's what ultimately that verse is saying there. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Concept there is this, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies or gives testimony with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So it's a package deal. You're guaranteed certain things, but part of that entering in is trials and testing. You can call it suffering. You can call it whatever you want. But it means you don't volunteer for certain things. God ordains certain things in my life and in your life, and they have a purpose. And that purpose is, the scripture says, that Christ may be formed in you, that the character of Jesus Christ would be evident to the world. We would demonstrate the power of the cross by the way we live our life. Revelations 12:11, and they overcame him, the enemy, because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, And what else? Because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. So God's testimony about you, even though we mess up sometimes, we don't feel like an overcomer, but his testimony about each blood-bought believer is that we are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. So we need to demonstrate his testimony by exercising his authority and his power. And that would be a tall order if we tried to summon it up and do it in our own strength. But here's the thing. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And that enables us to do just that, to speak with authority, to act with authority, and with the dunamis power of Almighty God. God be the glory. Great things he has done, and he will continue to do as well. Another part of that provision is the faith of God. Even that, you can't claim that by some goodness of your own or some willing it to happen. No, even the faith you have and that you exercise comes from him. Verse 5, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Allowing that power, that Holy Spirit empowers you to live a righteous life. To live, the Bible says, my righteous ones live by faith. In other words, they're powered by faith. That faith which the Holy Spirit releases when we need it. It's not based on how you feel. That's not faith. It's not an emotional concept. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on what God says and allowing God to do in us that which he says he desires to do. We have the passage in Acts, a very powerful one. I love the times, whether it's in the Gospels, but there are a number of things in the book of Acts as well. But Acts 3 records the healing of the lame beggar. And it says, Paul's not going to take credit here, or any of the apostles, anyone that was there. It says in verse 16, but on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith that comes through him. There it is, the faith that comes through Christ has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. So he goes right to the point here and gives God the glory. He's not saying it's something in him, or if he says certain words this way, or if he acts in certain ways. He's saying, no, it's faith in Jesus Christ. It's faith in the name of Jesus Christ that released. And the seal of that seals this healing in this man's life. Romans 12, verse 3, towards the end in particular. But to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted or apportioned or assigned to each a measure of faith. Could say God releases the portion of faith you need for whatever he calls you to do or whatever he asks you to say. That faith arises to meet the challenge of the moment. And it's separate from the gift of faith. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts. They're all listed there, but verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the one same Spirit. And verse 9, 1 Corinthians 12, to another, faith by the same Spirit. And I would categorize that as extraordinary faith, a bold or extra confident faith. To meet the extraordinary challenge that God may have ordained for us at times in our life. Ephesians 3:11-12. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Now, there's no hindrance except for you. God will supply the faith. God will release the provision of faith. But we have to step out. We have to step into the unknown. We have to meet the challenge that God presents to us. And that's why it also says and reminds us, we walk by faith, not by sight. Because if our eyes are on our circumstances, you know, we're going to be like Peter when Jesus said, "Come to me on the water." It was only him that stepped out of the boat. So we can't find too much fault with him for beginning to sink. But what happened was, even though all the power was released and the faith, when Jesus said, "Come," at that very moment, he enabled Peter to walk on water and come to him. But what happened was, Peter began to look. Oh, the waves, the wind, the noise, the turbulence. And his eyes were looking at everything but Jesus. But even then, what does the scripture say? Reached out his hand. He didn't condemn him for not having the faith and for looking away and looking at other things, being swayed by other things. Even then, he reached out his hand. And then they were into the boat in a few moments there. Confident access through faith in him. Ephesians 3. Faith comes from God, and the power to exercise and live by faith also needs to be in our sights. So we need to, according to Hebrews 12:2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Or King James renders that, the finisher of faith. And if you look at the meaning there, it's not just saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. It's saying, look away from everything that will be a distraction, that will prevent you from walking by faith and not by sight. First John 5:4. For whatever is born of God, and faith is born of God, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So, a very important part of God's total provision is our faith, which is his faith, the faith which he supplies, as well as a testimony of God, the faith of God and the testimony of God. And number three, which we're probably going to stop here today, is the power of God, part of God's provision for every believer, from verses 4 and 5. Your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may not be from ourselves, but from Him. Because that's what gets things done, His power. Not willing it, not wanting it, but submitting our life to Him and the tasks that He gives us to do or to speak. Coming into agreement with Him by faith, and that is what releases the power of God in this imperfect vessel. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and He said, God speaking to Paul, He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power, my power, is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. This is exciting stuff. When you realize, in a sense, you're stepping out of yourself and into the realm of faith. As God releases the faith and the accompanying power, things happen. And we got to stop saying, who, me? Me? God wants me to do this? Why not? He's asking, He's also supplying the faith and the power to accomplish it. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to what? According to the power, His power, that works within us. Exciting stuff. Colossians 1:29. And for this purpose, Paul speaking, and for this purpose I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. And so he's very careful, and Rich opened up the service with the idea of being humble. And this is what Paul's doing. He's not taking any credit whatsoever. He says, no, it's God's power working in me and consequently through me as I step out on the waters of faith. So we need to believe and act like what the Scripture says, Philippians 4:13. And the lyrics from one of the songs were actually in line with this. I can do anything. Right? We sang that this morning. Do we believe it? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does all mean? All things. And the Amplified renders that the last part of that verse 13, who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. So our sufficiency, our power, our ability, our giftings, they all rest on Jesus Christ. And this is how I heard it yesterday. His power does it all. And His power is your provision for victory. And I added my own words, but that's what I felt the Holy Spirit said. And enables you to do it all. That's His power, is your enabling. It will assure your victory. So, that's a good place to stop. As I said, I have a treasure trove, is what I heard yesterday, of things the Lord wants to share with us. And He wants that good seed to take root, the good seed of His Word to take root in our life, so that when He summons us, when He calls us to do something, we don't make excuses. We don't find reasons why we can't. But we say, oh, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, because He is my total provision. God bless you today as you take these seeds from the Word and realize it's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has great plans. This season has an abundance of challenges. That's no secret, on what's going on in the world, in our state, in our communities, in our nation, and in the world. But God is greater. And He wants us to rise up and be His representatives in our culture, in our communities, and in His kingdom for His glory. So greet one another, as the scripture says, with a holy kiss. Welcome one another.